Hi, I'm Jen Storer, and you're listening to the Girl and Duck podcast, Creative Writing, Creative Life. Good morning, wherever you are, whatever time of day it is, good morning. I'm having my second cup of tea. It's 8:30 when I'm recording this. The sun is pouring in, but not in a hot way. We've got through the wild storms, and today is fairly calm so far. So let's hope that it remains that way and doesn't get all cray cray. If you're in one of the zones where there's fires or power outages, my heart is with you and with all those sufferings that go on with fires as well. It's heartbreaking to see, but hopefully they'll get on top of them fairly quickly, and hopefully Mother Nature will send more rain. All right, now, what did I want to talk to you? I was literally just washing up my paint palette, getting ready to do some painting before I go into some writing. If you receive my newsletters, you'll know that I'm currently painting 100 coffee cups because this year is my year of acrylics, and I decided to start that by being really dedicated and doing one thing and doing it over and over and over again, because there's always so many lessons in that kind of thing. So I think I'm up to my 21st or 22nd coffee cup. They're not literally coffee cups. I'm painting them on little canvases, just small, almost the size of a coffee cup. And they're really what's happening is they're little colour studies. I'm really playing with palettes as well as style, and trying to keep it really loose and playful, that kind of thing. But also really pushing in terms of, for me, you know, in terms of palette. So that's been a heap of fun. So I'm loving that. So I'm going to do another couple this morning, and then I'm going to start working back on my novel again, which is going really well. I'm really, really pleased. But while I was washing the palette, I was thinking about you guys and whoever's writing longer fiction and stuff like that, and thinking about Jack Heath's class on this coming Monday in the Duck Pond. Jack Heath is doing a class called Twisting the Knife, How to Make Readers Gasp. And I just love the title. It's just, gets you in straight away. And I was thinking about, literally about that twisting the knife thing. And of course, Jack writes for children as well as adults, but there's no difference in so many ways. There's no difference, in terms of keeping tension and having a good tension line through a story, whether it's for children or for adults. You do have to at times up the ante, or be mean. Yeah, you've got to be mean to your characters. And this is something that I've, when I've been editing and teaching creative writing books for children, this is where people really stumble. They find it really difficult to be mean to their characters, or to put them in perilous situations, or just to be just to challenge them in some way. So I've always had this thing about telling people, you must take off your parenting hat when you're an author. You cannot be protecting all your characters as a mother or father or carer would. You've got to take off that parenting hat. You've got to take off the park ranger hat. You've got to take off the respect my authority hat as well. You can't be lording it over your characters. I don't see that as much these days as I used to, the sort of really condescending sort of children, aspiring children's writing. But I still see periodically the, everything has to be careful, and we can't push anybody out of their comfort zones or challenge them or put them in a difficult situation, or God forbid, a dangerous situation. So we do have to twist the knife, because that's how you build tension. That's how you build drama. That's how you tell a story. So it really is important that we keep an eye on, one, that we actually have some knives in the story, and two, that we're twisting them. So what's an example of this? What's a really good hard and fast? I love to give examples from my own work, as you would probably know by now. And a thing that sticks with me is that, hang on, I need to take a sip of my Lady Grey. Just a second. I don't want to waste it while it's still piping hot. So an example from my own work that always sticks in my mind is when I wrote The Accidental Princess. It was many, many years ago, and it's an ode to Enid Blyton, that novel, junior fiction. But upper junior fiction, 45,000 words. This probably makes some more sense to you if I talk in word counts. So an ode to Enid Blyton. So very much, you know, has that sort of Blyton-esque feel to it, and to the voice and to the actual fairy tale. But a little bit tongue-in-cheek, of course, with a modern twist. Now, when I wrote The Accidental Princess, I was still coming out of a lengthy apprenticeship in writing for children in the education system, right? And so I had felt extremely restricted in that writing, in that field, because you did have to have your parenting hat on. You did have to have your park ranger hat on. You know, you did have to be morally, ethically, and emotionally and physically, you know, you had to care for your characters and be very careful, because a lot of the stories that I wrote were going into the American market and the American education market, which is very, very prescriptive. And so when I wrote The Accidental Princess, it was like, yay, you know, I can throw off the shackles and I can go a bit wild here. And so the pendulum swung and it swung a little bit too far. And so there was a scene where there's these imps in the forest and they got hold of Nanny, who looks after the two girls, and they got hold of Nanny, and my editor said to me, Jen, you're kind of torturing the nanny here. I think you really need to pull back a little bit here. And you know, she was such a gentle editor, but she said, and that's kind of the way she said it, you're kind of torturing Nanny, and I think perhaps you need to pull it back a little bit. And I sort of read it through her eyes and I thought, oh my god, this is quite cruel. You know, in terms of children's writing, of course, you know, they were really sort of drawing it out, and you know, her capture was very unpleasant. So I went back in and I rewrote that so that it was still scary. The knives were still there. I was still twisting the knives, but I wasn't like plunging them, multiple knives in. Okay, so that's just an example of, you know, where I went a little bit too far for children's writing. And you can't learn that kind of discretion, I don't think, until you have pushed some boundaries, until you have gone a little bit too far and you're able to look at it and think, okay, I need to pull this back a bit. Or, you know, you have another reader who goes through and who's quite affronted by it, or can bring your attention to it. Again, it's always up to your discretion how you want to go with this. But don't be afraid in the first instance to twist some knives. Don't be afraid to go a little bit further. There's a scene in Tenzifalo where a rabbit's head falls from the sky, and you know, it's been sliced off. It's quite gothic and it's a real sort of horror moment in the novel. Now that stayed, you know, that's creepy. I've been told by lots of readers. But there wasn't any obvious cruelty leading up to it. But it was just a sort of a moment of gasp, you know, making the reader gasp, not being complacent, not making the world safe and comfortable for the reader or for the characters in your story. And this doesn't, you know, it doesn't just apply to, you know, a gothic fantasy like Tenzi or a fairy tale like The Accidental Princess. It's in contemporary fiction as well. There's got to be tension. You know, when we talk about twisting knives, of course, we're always talking metaphorically, and it isn't just confined to crime writing and stuff like that. I know you get that, but you know, it's early in the morning and I'm feeling like I need to over-explain things. All right, so that's what I'm thinking about in terms of increasing the tension in your book. Don't be afraid to put your characters in danger. Remembering you can always take them out of danger again, you know, but it's really good in the first instance and in those first drafts to push the boundaries a little bit, to be mean to your characters and to see what effect that has on your tension threads in the story, you know, and on the mounting drama and mounting tension. See what happens there and see if it works. It's all about experimenting and pushing boundaries. And I will, of course, be attending Jack's class on Monday, and I'll probably do another podcast after that when I've heard from him and have something, you know, something to share from that experience, because it'll be really good to reflect on you know, my ideas about twisting the knives and then what he's got to say about it, being the expert knife thrower that he is. All right. If you're listening to this, you know, early, just a reminder that our summer intake for the Duck Pond closes this coming Friday. I don't know, that's tomorrow, isn't it? The 16th. It closes at 10 p.m. Of course, if you hear this later and you think you want to join the Duck Pond, you can always send me an email. I will open it for you. But we like to confine our intakes and keep everybody moving at the same pace. So officially the Duck Pond closes on Friday night at 10 p.m. unless you're a very special person and you write to me after you've heard this podcast and you want to join. I'm not sure when we'll be open again. There'll probably be an autumn intake or something like that later on in a few months' time. But for now, Jack Heath on Monday in the Duck Pond, and the class will be recorded, of course, and available to all our Duck Pond members for 6 weeks post-presentation so that nobody misses out. And we even send reminders before the class is taken down so that anyone who's forgotten to watch or participate or get the gold gets prompted. So we don't just take them down silently. We always look after our members from every angle. All right, my love, I'm off to paint some coffee cups, acrylic coffee cups. I have a little bit of gold this morning that I'm going to apply, so that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, I'll speak to you soon. Have a great day or night. Bye. If you want more ducky goodness, pop over to the website girlandduck.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Jen E. Storer. That's JenEStorer.